It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Oh, he's not lying. He is not lying. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday, and we are living that dream and taking you with us. I am your host, Jeff Paul, and I have some big news today, folks. I've posted on my social media accounts that I had some big news today for with our show this week on Sports Saturday. And everyone, if anybody knows, if they've listened to this show, and I think we've been doing this show for like 6 or 7 years. And we started this show, a good friend of mine and I started this show together a few years ago. Whatever it was, 7 years ago, 6 years, whatever it was. And I never thought that it would happen. And there have been some quality duos in the past that have tried it. And, you know, we've never seen them come back. Mike and the Mad Dog come to mind. The great WFAN in New York City. My favorite show, actually, growing up was Mike and the Mad Dog. I just loved it. Still love Chris Mad Dog Russo. Francesca got a little crazy towards the end, but. Mike and Mike in the morning, they're not back together. But folks, let me just be the first to announce, on our airways on 101.3 The Game, back together again, myself, Jeff Paul, and my good friend and the very talented Bernie Siplicki is back. Sports Saturday with Jeff and Bernie is back, baby. Here he is. Looking good, by the way. Got the sweatpants rolled up high. Got a can, the iconic can of Mountain Dew. The 47-inch bottle of water next to him as well. Wearing the Kansas Jayhawks t-shirt that was sent to us, by the way, from the Associate Athletic Director of Kansas. I remember Larry Hare, as we interviewed him many times in the show. Bernie, it's so good to have you back, pal.
Jeff, thank you. It's great to be back, and thank you for allowing me to come back after a 2-year
allowing
hiatus.
You to come back. You know what it's like, Aaron. He comes on all, you know, hat in hand kind of thing. But we know what the high priced talent does, right?
No.
The grass is greener somewhere else. Gonna leave the small town, Jeff Paul and Aaron. We'll just leave you guys back here. He kind of goes off and realizes that the grass isn't maybe not so green over there, and now he's back.
Two quick thoughts.
Sure.
One, your social media post.
I knew
you
that would get
you
under
were,
your skin.
You were killing
me.
That is not a big announcement. I mean, come on.
It is a big. I'm gonna tell you how big announcement.
I do like the responses you got though.
I've gotten a lot of
thought there
ones.
Were some pretty creative ones about the Giants going to play flag football.
Yeah, that was good.
About your coaching.
Yeah.
But my favorite is the more things change, the more they stay the same. Aaron, thank you for doing that mistake on sport,
you're welcome.
On the Sports Center right away.
That was just for you.
That's how it rolls here.
So perfect.
Nothing changes really here. You know what I mean?
I didn't want you to feel like we had gotten too good at our jobs while you were gone.
Well, good. Because, I mean, wow.
Well, in all seriousness, you realize it's very easy to get into your kitchen, number one. I can just say that. I knew once I posted that on Facebook this morning that you would just be eye roll.
I was livid, mad.
I'm like, maybe he won't even show up today. Maybe he won't even show up today, but I put it out there. So, Bernie, honestly, with all honesty, I'm psyched to have you back. You know that we did this together. I mean, I'm trying to remember, how many years ago was it? Is it 6 or 7?
It's close to seven.
Yeah, I mean, 7 years when we started this show together, and obviously, you know, life happens and things move, and, you know, we're moving and changing all the time, but it's great to have you back, man. I can't wait to see where we go from here. So Bernie's
I'm excited
back.
To be back and to just heckle you and, you know, keep you in line, you know, because sometimes your rants are beautiful.
It has been fun for the last month and a half doing it by myself and just ranting and not having anybody here to stop me. Except my wife texting me, telling me, just shut up. Will you stop it? You're too angry. People don't like when you're angry. Knock it off.
Has she sent anything yet?
Nothing yet.
Okay.
She's probably not even out of bed yet.
Oh, good for her.
That's how she rolls.
Good for her.
Yeah, she doesn't, you know. And by the way, we got a really good show today. We're going to talk with Tom King from the New England Patriots, our Patriots insider, Tom King. We're going to break down the Pats. This is interesting with the Patriots, right? We've never seen a New England Patriot team actually spend a ton of money.
But I was in heaven.
But what they're doing now is, you know, he's trying to rebuild it. And I, you know, we're going to talk to Tom King about that.
You know, I'm not a Pats fan.
Right. Oh, we know that.
I'm all in. I love what they're doing. I think Cam Newton is going to be great, but yeah, we'll get into that
later.
We'll get
into that. We're going to talk about the Giants offseason. The Giants have made some moves, and there's some things that are pending that I'm kind of excited about.
Why?
We'll get to that. I mean, see, this is what I'm saying. You know, this is it's already
Sandbagger
starting.
Sandbagger is back.
It's what he does. He's, you know, it's funny. I wish some of you could just read some of the texts I get from him throughout the week when it comes to the Giants or something that we actually root for together. But you get on the air and you're just annoying. It's just simply that.
Man, it only took me 5 minutes to get
take
annoying
long.
Out
it doesn't
you.
Take it's, long.
Well, talk about sounding like my wife.
And I don't know if you heard what Steve Smith said this week, but there's an article in the New York Post that he really went after Dave Gettleman, and I'm not sure if it's premature or not. But we'll talk about that. And then next hour, during the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Brad Stevens and the Celtics. And there are some rumors flying around that potentially, and everybody knows I love Brad Stevens. I mean, I stand by everything that I have said about him, that he still is, I think, the best basketball coach in the NBA. I don't think the NBA deserves him. And there's some rumors right now with the job at Indiana open, Bernie, that he potentially could jump to there. We're going to talk about that in the 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, that'll be fun to talk about. You know, I think there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle in regards to the Celtics, you know, Danny Ainge, the roster, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you get to choose between coaching the Boston Celtics or the Indiana Hoosiers, that's a tough choice.
Yeah, tough choice. It is. And I think, we'll get into that. I don't want to break it down now. And then we're going to talk March Madness. We're going to pick some games. There's some spreads that are pretty interesting.
Oh, I got some winners today for you.
I have got a vested interest in today as well. We've got Hot or Not and Out in Left Field, so we got it all going for you today. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. I wanted to bring this up with you because you're so close to the UVM men's basketball program, and I think it's a great way to start the show today, is the unbelievable story. And I truly believe that this is an unbelievable story because as talented as he was here, and we've seen a lot of rarely talented basketball players come through Vermont. I mean, there's a list of players that I think when you watch them play basketball at UVM, you felt there was a real chance that they could be an NBA, whether it's an NBA bench player or a role player or a player that can make a difference in the NBA. And I always felt that watching Anthony Lamb, that he had a lot of potential to be great, but I was never sure, just because of the body type, right? He wasn't overly huge. He was a little, you know, he wasn't real fit early in his career in terms of what you'd expect to see out of an NBA player. But this past week, he makes his debut for the Houston Rockets, is the first UVM men's basketball player ever to score a point in the NBA. And looking at what he's done, the transformation, that he's always been a great player, his work ethic's been great, but it's more than just work ethic on the court, Bernie. He's transformed his body into an NBA body. He is now playing at the NBA level. I'm sure the guys have covered this throughout the week with the huddle, but Bernie, with you being so close to the program, what a moment for UVM and for Anthony Lamb that he is now playing for the Houston Rockets in the NBA.
Just a tremendous moment and a moment of pride because we can all, you know, take a little bit of ownership to it, you know, because we've watched him. He was nothing but wonderful in the community and always trying to do extra. But you talk about playing really well in the D League and getting better and better and then getting a shot and just, you know, making the most of it. Watching him, you know, he doesn't look lost defensively.
Right.
You know, he like you said, his body, he fits in. He just, you know, has to continue to work on that jumper. He had, 9-9 the other night.
It's amazing.
And just, it is special, and he's only going to get better and better.
Would you like to see him transition to more of a small ball style in the NBA just to try and sort of eliminate that size disadvantage as much as possible? Because that's the way I've felt for a while.
Well, that's the only way he's going to really survive.
Right.
You know, too, he's going to have to find that type of thing. But that's the way the league is kind of shifting to in general. You know, you look at Blake Griffin, you know, just a post power guy. He can't find a home because that style of basketball is not there anymore. So that transition, that transformation is only going to help Anthony move on. And you know, okay, this is a – now he gets that – opportunity, and he gets, you know, he has tape and people see him night in and night out. You know, that's the hardest part. If, you know, Houston doesn't last long or want to keep him, he has now all of that information that's out there for people to give him a look, and he's had some success. So let's hope, you know, longevity can take place.
I just think it's an unbelievable story. And, you know, I filled in for Rich one of his vacation days a week ago. The Monday I filled in with Arnie, and you know, UVM was freshly beaten by Hartford the weekend before that. And there were fans that were, you know, they have a tendency to come after me and call me the homer because I am so high on this program. And Arnie and I had a little back and forth on that. Vermont needs to take that next step. I think what we saw out of Anthony Lamb is that next step for UVM. I mean, I've never in a million years can understand a fan's mentality. And I understand, we had John Becker on a couple weeks ago, Bernie, and I asked him the pressure that these guys are feeling now to be successful every single year. And I think it's very difficult, and for whatever reason, I think it's when fans are upset at you or think it's disappointing when you don't make an NCAA tournament, I think that's the biggest respect you can get as a coach when you're coaching or you're playing at a school like Vermont. What I don't understand from the fan base that gets on Vermont a little bit to me is they don't understand the same. I'm going to say the same thing. How difficult it is, and this is why I'm glad you're here. We can talk about this. How difficult it is for a program like Vermont to be as relevant as they are year in and year out. And in terms of Arnie was talking about Gonzaga, I don't think it's anywhere near fair to compare a program like Vermont and Gonzaga. Now, Gonzaga came from a relatively small conference. They've developed themselves, but it's still a much bigger conference in the America East. I think Vermont right now is still in that mode where they're building their program still, but they right now have built that consistency. Having a player go from a program here and to step into the NBA and now is playing and contributing on an NBA team, to me, is the next step that I think the quote-unquote fan base that needs more, I think this is more for them.
Well, not only that, but it also helps with recruiting. You know, you talk about in this day and age, you know, you can now go, I mean, you're only as good as your players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's not kid ourselves. If you don't have good players, doesn't matter how good of a coach you are, if you don't have those players, you're not going to win. And something like that gets you a seat at the table.
Yeah.
Potentially in terms of recruiting to go after and get those next level high players, especially, you know, transfers, you know, that may not be playing at a high major school to come and say, hey, well, you know, you come here, you get looks, you get opportunity. Well, look at Anthony Lamb.
And that's happening.
Right.
That's happening at Vermont.
Right. And that's the stuff that helps there. You know, hopefully the venue and facility, you know, completion of that, you know, as that comes along will only help. So it's there. And, you know, if the blip was we during COVID had a tough year after, you know, being a co-champion for the regular season, was losing to the team that won it. That's a pretty good year.
Yeah, I look at this program and I think that the trajectory that it continues to go on is amazing. And the fact, and this is, I think when you look at a program, and I do want to get to one, we've got a great text here that I want to mention about a local basketball team, the CVU girls basketball team. I want to touch on that. I want to touch on that today as well. But I think when you look at a program that, and you can relate to this, Bernie, playing at UVM, being a Division I basketball player in college, you understand it, and you played for some teams at UVM that struggled. You know, one of the things I always wondered about UVM was the first class with Coppenrath and Sorrentine and those guys. You thought, okay, that was one of those special classes, but that's probably going to be it. Every class this program graduates brings in the next level that continues to keep them at that level. If you look at every team in the country, there are very few teams in the country that have the ability to stay relevant for 4 or 5 years in a row, 6, 7, 8 years in a row. We're talking 20 plus years in a row where UVM is a relevant factor. And in most cases, if they're not going to the tournament, they're getting upset to not get there. I think that's pretty special for a program like this.
It is. And, you know, you talk about the relevancies, but you also talk about the pressure and the expectations. Like, look at the poor kids from Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, they get upset and then they're getting, you know, death threats on their Instagram and Twitter. And that's the one thing that, again, checks and balances have to come back into play. Just not only, you know, for Vermont fans, for anybody across the country, it's just guys, these are kids. The coaches are trying their best. Yeah. You know, it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, but you know, there's so much good stuff, and you need to embrace that and be positive as you move forward, because it's been a tough year, and we don't even need to get into that, but we have to embrace the positives and the great things that are happening and moving forward.
First time texter, and I only say it because it's just his phone number. He's got a couple texts here, but I'll just take this one. UVM lost to Hartford and UMBC in recent tournaments. Stop the hype. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it's okay to dislike. If you're not a fan of UVM, that's fair. But if you can't look at this program and understand that the UMBC team that they lost in recent tournaments went on and beat the number one seed in the tournament that year, Virginia, if you remember correctly. And Hartford is a very good older basketball team that shot 70-something percent from the field to beat Vermont. So you can hate on Vermont all you want, but if you can't look at it realistically and understand what this program has done and where it's gone, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And it's okay. You don't have to love them. But at the end of the day, they're a program that's up and coming. Before we go to break, I have to bring this up. We had some great girls basketball last night, obviously Division I, we mentioned in the beginning, but one of the things we didn't mention is CVU, the juggernaut that is that CVU girls basketball program, Bernie. I mean, it's something that it's awe-inspiring. They haven't lost a game in how many? I mean, it's years
and
now.
And forever.
Had a COVID positive this week, and they had to, you know, forfeit their playoff run. We're heartbroken for that and sad for that. But keep your heads high, girls. You're a proud program, done a great job.
And think about those poor seniors, 2 years in a row, haven't lost a game, have the season stopped in the semifinals, and then have the season stopped because it's something that they couldn't control. And that's just
it's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
It's been a bad year, but at the end of the day, you just remember how you did it. I mean, you forget about who wins and loses games. It's how you did it. That's a great program, a great team. And we're all very proud of them. Real quick, the Green City Garage poll question. Green City Garage, located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington, 802-651-9299. That's 802-651-9299. I tell you this, guys, every time. If you have a car issue, go see my buddy Chris Wallace at Green City Garage, 802-651-9299. Not only is he the best in the business, it is an environmentally friendly garage. You're going to love it. It's one of the cleanest. It's cleaner than my garage in my house, which is probably
not
saying much. It's very true.
Not hard.
If you go to Twitter right now at 101.3 The Game, the question today is, and we're going to get into this later on, who does the postseason better? A, college football, or B, college basketball? A or B?
That's not even hard.
Yeah, no kidding, because it's B, because A is so screwed up. College football,
Jeff,
is a mess. Don't even tell me it's different. Division 1A does it right. Our Division 1, the Alabamas and the Clemsons of the world, they do it wrong. Anyway, go let us know what you think, A or B. When we take a quick break, when we come back, we talk Patriots with the great Pats insider Tom King. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
We're getting some hecklers out here. Listen, just for the record, like, Bernie and I aren't professional, hosts here. And listen, we have no background. Bernie and I are, like, sitting at the end of the bar and yelling at each other about things. That's what we do. That's what we want our show to be about.
And Bernie Siplicki.
I am professional, and I'm hurt.
And you are professional, Aaron. You are.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 The Game.
We are back here on Sports Saturday. Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki. Bernie is back, everybody, and you're getting a lot of love, man. You have a lot of people that really love you. I got this one. How about this one? Okay. How about this one? Jan from Underhill says, saying there's a connection might be a stretch, but having Bernie back feels like there's new hope for the future. Welcome back, and let's go Mets. Isn't that nice? You're helping. Look, I'm already helping the show. The future's... of this show is brighter because Bernie Siplicki is here this morning.
Few and far between, Jeff. Few and far between.
Yeah, we know that. All right, we are waiting to get Tom King, and I just got a text from him. He said he's waiting for the call, Aaron. So we were getting phone calls. The reason we don't have Tom King right now is because we were getting phone calls, and Aaron was dealing with all that. So obviously, segment.
One person made a great point. You know, there was UVM way back in the day with Kevin Roberson and
the great Kevin Roberson.
Almost beat a Villanova team, with Coach Massimino. So, a lot of good stuff. But I love your poll question.
Well, and we'll get to that one second. But you just brought up the Villanova thing. Now, Raleigh Massimino, who is a UVM grad,
yes.
And if I remember correctly, and I was way young for this, but he used to bring his Wildcats to Vermont to play
on occasion, yes.
Which is pretty cool because back in those days, Vermont, that was a big deal to have them come to town.
Yep.
And I think they even came around. Did they win the championship in '85?
Right.
So we're talking. They played somewhere around in there.
Yes, but it wasn't that championship team.
It wasn't that championship team. Okay. All right. Well, that's why we're waiting to get Tom King on the air. And if you need his phone number, hang on a second, Aaron. Let me get this. This is what we do on live television. I'm going to get you everything you need to have right here.
I just got a woman's voicemail.
I am on TV. You got a woman's voicemail. Well, that's not good. Well, hold on. Let me get you the number. Jeez, maybe that Tom. Whose number are you giving me, buddy?
Once again, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
So here you go. Here's my phone. You look. There's the number, and we'll get him on the air. But and by the way, I am on live TV because I'm on Twitch television here, right here to my left. Okay, and you are too, looking pretty dapper this morning. Anyway,
man, I would have shaved.
But I don't know what's your problem with my poll question today. I think it's
because
a fairly
it's not
simple
even
question.
Close.
Well, how's it not close?
Because it just brings up an issue about college football. I mean, it's not even that we know that system is flawed. That system is new. That system,
it's an easy fix.
It needs to continue to evolve and get better.
Oh, give me a break. Evolve. No. Evolve to what? How long does that have to take to evolve?
Can I finish?
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Go ahead.
I mean, all I'm saying is the men's basketball tournament is the greatest tournament that's out there.
No question.
And that's why the poll question is simple. The basketball one has it right. College football just has to get better.
Yeah,
and
they
have
to get better fast. And it's gonna. But it takes them forever to do anything. I'm just going to tell you something, and we're going to get to our guests. Let me just say let me just make my point. The only reason I put that question out today was I want to hear what people really think, because there are people out there. There are college football homers out there. There are people that are so passionate about college football that think this is the way to go.
Yeah, they're called Bama fans.
And I will say that the only and that's the problem. Like you never will have a moment like we saw last night with Oral Roberts knocking off Ohio State or North Texas beating Purdue in any college football scenario, because it never will allow it. However, we've seen the proof in the pudding in Division 1A, where they have an actual tournament where you have teams, so you could have a Boise State or a UCF, just to use those two teams in particular, that have had tremendous seasons in the past 10 years, not have an opportunity to play in a national championship.
Patriots.
All right, forget it. We'll talk
about
it.
Can we talk about the Patriots?
This is what happens when you come back on the air with me. We get in these little tussles all the time.
That poll question's silly.
All right, whatever. It's not silly, and I can't wait to see what the results are. But let's get on the Town Fair Tire. That's the text line. Let's get to the TikTok Jeweler guest line here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. And get ready to talk to our good friend, Patriot Insider Tom King. Good morning, Tom. Sorry for all the confusion
this
morning.
Good morning, guys. Happy spring.
Happy spring. What's the temperature down there today? Is it going to be balmy?
I think it's in the low 40s right now. It's supposed to be in the 50s, but it's
awesome.
A big day at the compound.
What? Go ahead.
We pull the grill out from its slumber and clean it up and put it in its spot where it stays now for the next 8 months or so.
Well, are we going to crank it up today?
What's the first thing going on?
We'll crank it up. Tomorrow's going to be in the 60s. Yeah. We'll crank it up tomorrow afternoon, I think. That's the plan.
It's going to be in the mid-60s here tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, that's shorts weather, baby.
It's supposed to be warm. But the difference down here is we're all done with our high school tournaments.
You guys
are still having yours. We're all done. We finished last Sunday.
No, so now it's grilling season for you.
Oh yeah. This is it. You know, this is my time now.
All right, let's get into the New England Patriots. And for Patriot fans, I think this is an interesting offseason, right? Because I cannot remember in the last 20 years a Patriots organization or team that was excited about money they may have to spend in the offseason, where this team really had some money to spend, and they've done it so far. I mean, talk about some of the impact players they brought in. But I think the first question I want to ask you is, Patriot fans are a little leery about this, but Cam Newton looked like he's going to be the quarterback next year for the New England Patriots, right?
Yeah. We'll wait on that. Let's see what happens. I mean, there's a lot of time between now and camp and everything else. But, you know, that's the one thing. They improved in just about every area on the roster except quarterback. And if you're a Patriots fan, that's got to be a concern, because you can sugarcoat it any way you want. Cam Newton just couldn't throw the ball last year. Now, is he going to be able to throw it this year? I mean, is he rested enough? Is his arm okay? I don't think so. I think once you lose that ability in your shoulder at his age, in his early 30s, was he 32, I think, right now? I think it's going to be awfully difficult to do. But the interesting part about the free agency was, when you looked at all the moves they made during the week, basically, what was this free agency for them? It was another draft. You draft 8-10 players in late April, right? Usually, on average?
Right.
Yep.
They signed 8 or 10. They signed 10 players. So they're going to add 20 guys to this roster. Now, a lot of those draft picks won't make it. Some of these low-level signings that they made may not make it, depending on the guaranteed money. But they have restocked the roster in a way that showed us that, with the exception of quarterback, everything we looked at, everything we saw last year, they saw. You know, they realized, we're not physical enough. We can't stop the run. We need some depth in the secondary. We need to fortify our offensive line a little bit and get that under financial control. We need to do a few other things and get our receipt. We need tight ends. We need tight ends who can both block, and we need tight ends who can catch. We need to be better in the red zone that way. We need receivers who can run routes and catch the ball. Now, the thing is that signals to me that maybe they are going to stick with Newton, possibly, is there's no real burners on this team. I mean, Aguilar's not he's maybe the fastest guy, but Bourne's not a real burner. So, you know, if they do that and they stick with Newton with the short passing game, that, you know, that may be what they end up doing if they decide that they're going to have to go with Cam Newton. But I'd keep an eye on Marcus Mariota if I were you. And also, you know, I guess the question now is, with the holes that they fill, what are they going to do in the draft? See, Belichick always likes to build from the inside out. And I may still be convinced that in the draft, their first pick may be a defensive lineman and not a quarterback. But, you know, I didn't expect them. I expected them to sign a lot of guys in free agency because they had a lot of needs. But I didn't expect this. I didn't expect them to throw the money around like this.
Let me ask this question. A few weeks ago, I was reading an article about, you know, there were, like, for example, Matthew Stafford, you know, said he'd take a trade, but not to New England. And there have been other players I've read that don't want to play for the Patriots. I just don't get that mentality. I don't understand it. Is that just media being the media nowadays and finding a narrative and running with it? Or is there a real situation where, and obviously they've signed a bunch of players, so it's kind of a moot point, but some of the superstar players have opted to not want to go to New England. Is that real, or is that just a make-believe thing made up by the media?
No, I think it's real. I mean, first of all, with Stafford, that was the issue there was Patricia, because they had brought Patricia back already.
Right.
And Stafford didn't want to be around him. But when you look at it, there have been some the other factor with the Patriots is, who's not here anymore? Brady. Players would want to come here to play with Brady. There's no Brady here. So there's, and I don't think Cam Newton's going to attract, you know, as popular as he is, as, you know, and personable and everything else, I don't think he's going to attract it. The other thing is, they knew New England, at least until this year, wasn't going to pay. So players didn't want to go there as well, because come here as well, because they knew they weren't going to get paid. These guys want to go where they get paid, where they can get their money fast, because their careers don't last as long. And they did not think that was going to happen in New England. And the other thing is Belichick. You know, Belichick is a taskmaster. I mean, it is a, you know, you're, you know, it's not, this isn't Vegas. This isn't, this isn't Tampa Bay. I think this is a place where they know that it's going to be really, that Belichick's going to be hard on you. And the coaching staff is going to be hard on you. And a lot of veteran players are tired of that. They don't want to do that anymore. So the attraction to come here before was that they would win. And, you know, that attraction isn't around right now. Maybe it'll come back this year, depending on what they do. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that Belichick dealt with the agent that he's most comfortable with, which is Rosenhaus. So, and you kind of wonder about that, because Rosenhaus' personality is out there. And you know, so Belichick likes Rosenhaus. Well, they've done a lot of deals together. So they're comfortable. And, you know, and Belichick, when he negotiates with Rosenhaus, I think there's an understanding. This is what our offer is. Don't try to push it, because we're not going to change much of it. And these guys that they signed are all, you know, players who, I think the most surprising to me was Jonnu Smith, because he could have gone anywhere. But I think that the money they throw at him was pretty good, and Rosenhaus is a pretty convincing agent. So I think that in this case, right now, they went with what's familiar, and they got guys who they knew, you know, were going to be looking for jobs and didn't want to be, you know, not working in, you know, in June. So defensively, I think you could, it's easier to probably get defensive players here because Belichick's got the defensive reputation, like Judon did. But they threw a lot of money at Judon.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years, $30 million, you know, guaranteed. So that talks, too. That this is, you know, the Patriots have never been known for doing this in terms of throwing out a lot of money and overpaying people. The last time they did it was 2007. So, you know, that was what, 14 years ago, if I do my math right. So, you know, this is different, and we'll see how it works out.
Tom, you are the best. We appreciate the insight, and we'll touch base again down the road, man. Enjoy the grill, and I look forward to hearing what the first item is that goes on it. I assume it's a bison burger or something.
It might be swordfish. I'm not sure.
A swordfish?
It might be. And by the way, Bernie, welcome back. That you made parole, huh?
Yeah, they let me back. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Enjoy your Saturday.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. Yeah, interesting take. You know, it is the first time the Patriots have done this. And I guess we've always kind of looked at it as the Patriot way where you and I have debated going into NFL seasons, Bernie, many times that how can the Patriots expect to be talented again? How can they expect to win again when they've let X, Y, and Z walk and they bring in these guys you've never heard of? Well, going into this season, they're starting to bring in some names. We're not used to that in the Patriot world. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And I think he made a great point about Cam Newton. You know, are you comfortable with him as the quarterback of your football team?
I am with Cam. I think with what they did in the free agency, all the players that opted out that are coming back.
True.
And with what they can do in the draft, look out, Buffalo, because the Pats might be back.
Yeah, you might be right.
I think one thing is the two tight ends help a lot with Cam because they can go back to that two tight end set that was really effective in short yardage. They should be more consistent getting, you know, enough to get first downs, get drives going, that kind of thing.
And those guys are studs.
They're really good tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. And I, to this day, I'm telling you, like, I mean, I know what Brady is and I respect what Brady's done. And he's the greatest quarterback ever to live. But if you start sleeping on Bill Belichick, I think it's to your own demise. I mean, he is the savant of the NFL. I think what he's doing in the offseason where he's just pulling all, like Tom just mentioned, it's like he's having two drafts in the spring here. I would not sleep on the New England Patriots. All right, we take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some New York football Giants because, you know, me and Bernie, we always agree on the great NFL team that is the New York football Giants. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
But Brown? They score points, Bern. Like, they're still scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, that's fine.
And to me, in the NBA, if you can score enough points, you can beat anybody.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Well, if you score enough points in any game, you're going to win.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 The Game.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. Don't forget you can call us and join our conversation anytime at 802-655-6672, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 802-655-6672. Got a good text earlier, and I got more texts from the Town Fair Tire text line that Villanova actually did. Their championship season in 85 opened up here at Patrick Gym against the Catamounts. So you were wrong. I just wanted to like throw that out there. Again.
Not the first time, and won't be the last.
I just
want
to make sure everybody knows Bernie is wrong. All right,
thank you, Jeff.
We have a call on the line.
Welcome back,
Vince from Boston. Good morning, Vince. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Good morning, guys. I've been on hold for so long. Marcus Smart is now 0-for-30 in the fourth quarter from 3-point land.
No shock there.
How's Jalen shooting?
I tell you that I texted you that story about Villanova that year, Jeff, because, to quote the late, great George Mish Braves from Rutland, I was at that game.
Were you at that game?
I was at that game.
No
I
kidding.
Remember, you know, one player for UVM that played extremely well, and it's no surprise, was Howard Hudson. He had a phenomenal game that day.
Really?
He held his own against the Villanova backcourt, but the McLeans, the two McLeans.
That's a great story.
That's a great name too. He was a great. Yep. He was a great
and
player.
The connection that I went to Castleton. I always say it was the best 9 years of my life, and I have the associates to prove it. Howard Hudson was the backcourt mate for the Castleton point guard that played under Stan Van Gundy down there, Jerry Burns. They played high school basketball together in New York City, in Queens, New York.
And Jerry Burns was a great player.
Yes.
Yeah, very good point.
Great call with the your Patriots source. And just I want to throw some caution to the wind here, guys, about overspending in free agency. It was exactly 10 years ago, and you guys can probably figure out what happened to both of these teams that created the quote-unquote super teams by going crazy in free agent signing. But the 2011 Boston Red Sox and the 2011 Philadelphia Eagles
yeah,
were both deemed super teams. Neither made the playoffs.
But let me just say this. I don't deem what the Patriots have done here as putting together a super team like, say, the Red Sox did in that year and what the Eagles put together the year they didn't go to the playoffs. To me, I feel as if that the Patriots have filled a need that they needed. I mean, this is a team that needed to create, and I think the players they brought in are the right pieces. I don't look at this as a super team. I feel like these are the pieces needed, and they got the pieces they needed.
Down here the talk is, in listening to the media down here, that they're kind of like teetering on super team status. But you're absolutely right. Is they had to do this because their roster prior to the last few days was third best, if that, in the AFC East. I still think they're not as good as Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo getting the tight end was big. They also got the receiver from the Saints. Good grief, his name is escaping me right now, but Sanders, Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, yeah.
Miami is in the hunt for potentially landing a Deshaun Watson if the legal thing clears up for him. So, I mean, that would definitely change the landscape in the AFC East and really put the Patriots in a bind. They'd be fighting for third place at that particular point. But a lot has yet to be determined as far as what they're going to do with the quarterback spot. And that is the key, because all these years, as you know, they had one person that made a bad roster look really good, and that was Tom Brady. And he proved it again this year. So without him, you can bring in all these players and overspend on a Nelson Aguilar, who, you know, that was a great deal until the Steelers brought back Juju Smith-Schuster for less money.
Right.
So, yes, Belichick, it's uncommon for him to do something like this, but he also knew that he had no choice. He was forced into doing this because he's mismanaged that roster and counted on Tom Brady to bail him out year in and year out.
Well, Vince, you're absolutely right, and we appreciate the call, man. You've got to call in more often. You've got great insight, especially how close you are to the Patriots. So we appreciate the call, my friend.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vince. Vince from Boston. You know, he's right, and I think the biggest question mark you have with the Patriots is, and I love everything they've done, except I am so unsure about Cam Newton. I mean, I don't care who they bring in. If you're, and I feel the same way about, they were talking about, and you probably saw two weeks ago, that Drew Brees was working out and wherever he was working out, and there were videos of him out there. And I thought to myself, it doesn't matter how fit he is. It doesn't matter how strong he is. If you watched him throw the football in that playoff game, you could tell that his arm just isn't the same. If you can't get the ball down the field in the NFL, you can't win. That's the concern I have, Bernie, with the Patriots.
I don't disagree. I mean, I think, again, you talk about all the moving pieces in terms of the free agent signings, the opt-outs that are coming back in. The team chemistry is going to be very important for those teams. You know, they talked about the super teams, and half of being super is having a team that can go coexist and challenge each other. But, you know, like anything with the NFL, it all comes back to the quarterback. And if Cam Newton can play and can be stronger and do stuff, they're going to be very dangerous.
Yeah, signing Cam Newton to me screamed that they're going to draft a quarterback, because it feels very much like a Band-Aid. A lot of the guys they signed to multiple-year deals. I think in order to do a spending spree like that, they couldn't give too much money to any one quarterback. So I think they'll draft a quarterback, and if they're in week five and they look like they could compete if they made a change at that position, maybe they make the change then.
But I think they're going to be able to compete with Cam.
And don't you think, and I've always said this, Bill Belichick has nothing else to prove in his life, correct? I mean, there's nothing else that Bill Belichick needs to do in his career. I can't imagine Bill Belichick not staying. I can't imagine Bill Belichick staying if he felt this team was in rebuild mode. And Bill, I trust. I just always have, and I always will. If he believes he can win with Cam Newton, if he puts the right guys around, I just trust in that. I can't imagine him saying, you know what, we're going to bring Cam in. If your mentality is right, Aaron, that we're going to draft the quarterback, what pick do they have? They don't have a first.
They have the 15, but they could try and trade up.
Sure, if they were to land a one of the big kids, fine. But if they don't and they're drafting some kid at 15, he's not the fix. That's not a fix. You're looking at a rebuild.
How
that
do you
situation.
Know that?
I can't imagine that because I just don't think it'll happen. I don't think there's who knows? I don't have a crystal ball. But I can't imagine Bill Belichick at this stage of his career saying, I'm gonna coach this team and I'm going to rebuild this organization at my age with everything that I've done. I mean, he's an older man. He's right now, in my opinion, the greatest coach ever to live. Why do you stay to rebuild the Patriots? You don't need to do it. You don't need to. But there's something he knows that makes him do this. And I think the moves that he's made, as much as I love Vince's opinion, this doesn't make the Patriots a super team. This makes the Patriots a complete team. And if you put Bill Belichick as the head coach of a football team that's complete, I think you've got a real chance to win.
So you talk about in Bill, you trust. How about in Dave, do you trust?
Are you talking about Dave Gettleman?
Our guy.
Yeah. I mean, we were going to talk about Giants. We got the call about the Patriots in only a couple minutes, but we'll get into that. But yeah, you and I, when Dave Gettleman was new GM, you were doing the show with me, and we talked about this, and I want to give guys a chance. I think this is the time that the rubber's got to hit the road with him. And I love what he's done so far. But what has to happen is Kenny Galladay has got to sign a contract with the New York Giants.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No,
Daniel Jones has to have a difference maker on the outside. If you give that kid a difference maker on the outside that can create his own space, you are looking at a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Period. And that's what they're missing.
And fumbles?
Oh, please stop it.
Well,
stop
I
it.
Mean, let's be real.
Stop it. I am being real.
The guy turns the ball over more than I eat turnovers in the morning.
Well,
and that's a lot.
And that is a lot of turnovers.
To be fair, his offensive line's made out of paper.
And let me also say,
don't protect him at all.
Listen to me. Hold on a minute. First of all, that offensive line has improved. There's no question about
that.
Well,
they're going young. They're all in
that's
with
right.
those five
and
guys.
That's
that,
very
that
true.
They
and I did not like the idea of Zeitler leaving. He was a very, very good player. He was a leader, but you couldn't afford him. You got to let him go. The money's the issue. I agree with the offensive line piece. The other piece that goes along with Daniel Jones, and I will continue to say it until people start to understand it, the reason he's got so many turnovers is because that team has been so bad under him that it's been his arm that's been forced to try to help them win games. And when you play in New York, he's forcing balls. He's trying to win the football
fumbles.
Game. They all fumble when they're not protected. Lamar Jackson led the league in fumbles when his rookie or second year in the league.
And they
did
got
we
to the
bail
playoffs.
On him? No, they didn't get to the playoffs that year with him fumbling the football. The next year they did. This kid is going to be a top 10 quarterback. And if you bring in a guy like Kenny Galladay, and you remember what Plaxico Burress meant to Eli Manning. You know, when Eli Manning was a real question mark until they brought a weapon like Plaxico in, a big difference maker on the outside that allowed Eli Manning to be the above average quarterback he became in the NFL. Daniel Jones is going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, especially if you bring weapons in like Kenny Galladay.
Do you feel good spending $20 million a year on him?
No, and I don't think they're going to do that.
Because that's what he's supposed to fetch.
I know, but that's not what anybody's fetching right now. And that's what they're dealing with right now in New York. We had a call, right, that asked the question, did we think the Giants are going to sign Kenny Galladay? I think they are.
No.
And there was a tweet made by, I think it's Darius Slay, who I think played with him, that came out and said he's going to sign with the New York Giants. So I think it's going to happen.
Well, I hope you're right, but I'm not buying what you're selling, buddy.
Well, you never buy anything that I sell. I mean, what's the difference? What don't you like about that?
About
you don't think Daniel Jones is going to be the guy? You don't think he's the guy? You don't think that you put weapons around him, he can't get the job done?
Well,
this is a guy that hasn't had a healthy Saquon Barkley in forever, has not had a difference-making wide receiver, has had a tight end that can't catch a football, a tight end that can't block.
Pro.
He's not an all-pro. Yeah, all you're about as much an all-pro as Evan Engram is. And I'll tell you something else. I am so excited. I love you. But I'm also glad that Kyle Rudolph is now on that roster, and that what they should do now is move Evan Engram. It's time to move on from Evan Engram, put a professional on the line like Kyle Rudolph who catches the football and blocks, and this football team's going to win a lot of games.
Andrew Richman says that Galladay is going to Cincinnati.
No, he's not.
Okay.
It's possible. They just lost AJ Green.
I saw the contract Cincinnati offered him. And I just don't think
that's...
It's a one-year deal.
And that makes sense because then there's going to be big money for the salary cap the year after that.
That's the thing. A one-year deal is actually very attractive to free agents right now.
He's going
to
be in... Who knows where he's going to go? I hope he's a New York Giant. I'm basing on what I read yesterday on Twitter from guys that are close to him. And he's still in New York. And from what I understand this morning, I read an article, he's still in New York. I hope he signs in New York. And if he does, Look out NFC East. I'm just telling you. My guy Daniel Jones. Oh, it's gonna be you. All of you people that have been yelling at me and laughing at me for the last 2 years. You're going to be eating a lot
I'd
of crow.
I'd rather have Eli back.
Oh, my God. Please. You're fired. You're out of here.
Get out of here.
You're no longer on this show. We'll be right back.
Still looking for the Get ready, because you're about to hear some crazy shit. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. David Hamlin on the wing.
Oh, I love this show.
How does this keep happening?
I love it. We are just... Literally, this show is, we should call it Sports Saturday, a little discombobulated with Jeff, Bernie, and Aaron. That's what we should do.
How am I getting thrown right into the fire with
this? Welcome back to the family, boy.
No, Bernie's been perfect today.
That's what happened. Well, I mean, please stop. He's been perfect. Half of his takes are garbage. He's delivered them perfectly. He makes no sense half the time when he talks to me about anything. He makes no sense.
It's not about what I'm saying. It's how and when I say it, Jeff.
That's a good point.
Because it's so easy. I forgot how easy it is to get you all fired up.
It's not that I'm fired up. I have convictions. You understand? Like, there's things I believe in.
You're fired up.
When I stand up, I stand up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You ever see that in Sopranos, you know? Before the guy got hit in the head with the coffee thing?
No.
No, you don't remember that one?
No.
You never watched Sopranos?
No.
Are you kidding?
I'm Polish.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
All right. All right, what do you got today? What's out in left field today?
15th century bull bought for $35 at a yard sale. Resells for $722,000.
I'm sorry. Let's start over. I'm sorry. What? A bull?
It's a 15th century Chinese bull. Like
a bull. Not a bull. A bull.
Bull.
Not the animal.
No, a bull you put cereal in. Yes. Bought for $35 at a yard sale.
Or that kind of bull. It's not the bad bull. The drug bull. The weed bull.
Jeff.
We're talking about a bowl I can put my
Wheaties
in.
It is a actual bowl like you would eat cereal in.
Perfect. Continue.
Bought for $35 at a yard sale and resold for $722,000.
That's a good investment.
For the record, who is dropping $35 at a yard sale? We have yard sales at my house and people are like raking me under the... I have to pay charges only $1 or $2 a pop. And somebody got $35 for a bowl?
Once again, Jeff, you're having somebody take away your problems.
What are you talking about?
With your yard sale.
That's not true. It's a yard sale. I'm selling stuff.
There's an explanation.
Oh.
The guy who originally bought it was an antiques enthusiast and had an idea of what it might be worth.
So he offered
$35, which seems like a haul for a bowl.
But he knew
it might be worth something big.
That's not even nice.
He went and got it. Evaluated, and sure enough, they came back. It says probably worth around $400,000. He takes it to auction, gets $722,000.
So this guy, who the expert is, looks at this person and says, "You know what? I think you have something kind of nice here. I'll give you $35 for it." Meanwhile, $700,000. Instead of saying, "You know what? This is what a good person does. A good person looks at the bowl and says, "You know what? I think you need to take this in because you might have a real gem here. It could change your life." Instead, he's like, "I'm going to give you $35 for a $700,000 bowl. And I'm going to go take the money." Come on, that's not nice. Now, if it was a story like somebody like me walks up and says, "Ooh, that's a nice looking bowl. I think I'd like to put my Wheaties in that. I'll give you the whatever it is for it. I don't know anything about it. Then I take it." That's a different story. But when you know, that's taking advantage. That's not nice.
So there's a guy walking around Connecticut right now who knows he missed out on nearly $750,000 because he didn't realize he had a Ming Dynasty bowl in his house.
Well, let me tell you, and I know we have to do the update, but I can tell you a quick story. Last summer, there was a guy that my buddy told me this. There was a guy near Killington that was doing this huge yard sale. He's selling all kinds of comic books.
Oh.
And some guy shows up and says, "I want all your Thor ones."
Right.
And it turns out it was actually Thor, the guy that plays Thor.
No kidding.
He went up and he bought tons of guys. He gave him like a couple. I don't know. He gave him a few $1,000s from him. He's like, and the guy's like, "Why do you want all these?" He's like, "Well, I'm Thor." And he goes, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, what's his name? It's Chris Helmsley or Helmsley?
Chris Hemsworth.
Hemsworth. But anyway, it was Chris Hemsworth down in Vermont in Killington. And he bought all this guy's Thor stuff. Nice little interesting story there, little story for you. That's nice, isn't it?
What's the segment called again?
Out in left field.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
All right. This show, I'm telling you, you come back and we just start driving off cliffs and stuff with this one.
But we're having fun, aren't we?
Oh, I'm having a blast.
Okay.
I can't get
the listeners probably aren't, but
I can't
get.
Who cares? We love it. That's all that matters.
That's right.
All right, go ahead. What do you got for sports update?
Clay Travis, Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd. Talk Sports. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. 101.3. The Game. The Game. Trending now.
How's it going, everybody? I'm Aaron Wellesley, your 101.3 The Game Sports Update. In local news in girls basketball, in the Division I quarterfinals yesterday, number 11 Rice beat the number 3 seed Mount Mansfield 55-49, led by breakout performances from freshman Kelly Saplicki with 19 points and 11 rebounds, and Elise McDonough with 18 points of her own. Rice will now face number 7 Burlington, which pulled off its own quarterfinal upset by outlasting previously unbeaten number 2 Essex 51-46. In boys basketball, last night defending champion number 1 Rice beat number 9 Brattleboro 79-50 in the Division I quarterfinals. The NCAA tournament tipped off yesterday with the early upsets of Oral Roberts over Ohio State and North Texas over Purdue, breaking a whole lot of brackets. We've got March Madness coverage for you all weekend starting at noon today and tomorrow. Now it's time for Hour 2 of Sports Saturday. We are living the dream and taking you with us on 101.3 The Game, on your Amazon Echo, on the Game app, and Twitch.tv. All details at 101.3thegame.com.
101.3 The Game.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You don't want to mess with people. You don't want to mess with aliens, especially if you don't know if they're nice.
And Bernie Saplicki.
We don't need
Maybe
them.
We're aliens and we don't even know it.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Saplicki on 101.3 The Game.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. And you can watch us live on Twitch television. I'm not sure how to do that, but Aaron, tell me.
Twitch.tv/101.3thegame.
Perfect. You can see Bernie's 17, Mountain Dews he sucked down over there this morning.
Sorry, I'm thirsty.
And they are delicious. 802-655-6672.
They are delicious, but it's also part of the reason why I'm like 40 pounds overweight.
Stop it. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line. The exact same number, 802-655-6672. If you don't know, and you're going to know now, Bernie Saplicki is back as a co-host with me. I'm so excited. I think the kids say the OG. Is that the term? Like the OG is back, buddy. Is that right? Is that right?
Come on, Jeff. I'm like.
You've got two kids that are at the age where they're probably saying cool stuff.
They say things I don't even understand.
Well, anyway, maybe it's not the OG, but let's pretend it is.
So I don't think
OG
he used it wrong, but the way you delivered it sounded very old.
Yeah, well, that's how we roll here. Very average, Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be cool.
Well, kind of like the Giants takes.
Be quiet. Let's get to the Town Fair Tire text line.
Listen to the people.
Yeah, okay,
Jeff.
So Chris from Champlain says, Jeff, stay off the juice. It's affecting your judgment. I don't know what that. What are you talking about? My judgment is usually right on. Kevin from Burlington, people forget that Brady wasn't Brady when he won his first two Super Bowls. He didn't throw it that deep. It was the defense and special teams that put Brady in good position to win. Maybe Cam can do the same. Great point. You just feel like Cam is not a young quarterback that's just trying to learn it. You feel like Cam is at the other end of his career, and I'm not sure he can. I guess if you're Patriot fans, your mentality, to me at least, is not about getting back to the playoffs. It's getting back to the level of winning championships, and I'm not sure if Cam Newton's that guy, but we'll see how that plays out.
I think he can. I really do. Because of the way he can run, manage the game, and with the two tight ends now, I just think it's going to be good.
Andrew from Richmond put a few texts in, and we'll start with this. He said, Mahomes and Herbert doesn't have to be a top five quarterback pick. He's just got to be complete. There's no QB. Come on. I'm not sure what he means there. But my guess is the comment that I made that if the Patriots draft a quarterback at 15, that I don't believe that's not a quick fix. You're right. Herbert and Mahomes are great players now. Mahomes is arguably the best quarterback in the league. Herbert's an up-and-coming guy. There's no question that could be a fix. But I just think that's not where the Patriots are going. I don't see that being a situation. Doug from Milton said, Jeff, unfortunately, Kenny Golladay left the team without a contract. Experts say he's probably not signing with the Giants. Danny Dimes is a turnover machine. If that's news, that's news to me. I didn't see that before I came in. And he said Kyle Rudolph runs a 7-second 40-yard dash. Well played, Doug, on that one. If he left New York without a contract, then it must be that Golladay wants more money and the Giants aren't willing to do that. If that's the case, then my hope is that in the draft, the Giants draft one of those burners that are out
there. And you wonder about
there.
His injury because, he missed a lot of time.
But that's not the issue. The articles I'm reading now, again, I have no inside information, but the articles I'm reading is that everything came back clean. The issue was going to come down to money, but we'll see how it all plays out. And then Dennis from Georgia, Daniel, a.k.a. Kirk Cousins Jones, needs to avoid the 20-yard line from tackling him. Very funny. Fitzmagic's going to light up the NFC East this year. If you don't know, Fitzmagic is now in Washington.
Man.
Yeah, I think that
talk about a stopgap.
Yeah, and I'm shocked that Washington let Alex Smith go. To be honest with you, I mean it. At that point, I guess Fitzmagic is a great player, and I've always been really respecting him. He's going to be a good quarterback, but That kid, that Alex Smith, I mean, there's a lot more on that arm left. I mean, he, you know, he didn't play for a lot of years. He's not an old guy. He's a winner. I'm shocked. I'm shocked the Patriots wouldn't bring him in.
I'm more afraid, and I know it's not my choice because he wants to play and be competitive, but I'm just so afraid for his health. That's all.
If he, fair enough, but I mean, what he proved this past season is plenty for me to say this guy should be playing. And I would tell you, if the Patriots signed him, I feel a lot differently about the Patriots. If you bring Alex Smith in.
So you'd rather have Alex Smith than Cam Newton?
Yes, 100%. I think Alex Smith is, take anything away from Cam Newton, because we know Cam's a pro as well, but Cam Newton does not look like he has the ability anymore to be the quarterback you need to win. Alex Smith can win at this level.
I just want to see what Cam looks like coming back, because, you know, who knows how much COVID affected him. Let's see what his shoulder it comes back with, and we'll just kind of go from there.
So one caller wanted to let Jeff know that he got his Chris Hemsworth story wrong.
I did?
That he needs to check back up with the friend who told it to him, because that's who it was who called, and get the facts right. The other
So nice, wants- of my, nice of my friend to call back and say I was wrong. You could have just called me and said, we have to tell everybody I was wrong. That's what the story was.
You told
was.
Everybody I'm wrong like seven times already today.
Well, that's
already
the story today. The story that my friend just called in to say I was wrong, that's a story he told me. He told me that he showed up.
He's saying you remembered his telling wrong.
Well, what's the real story then? Did he tell you the story?
He didn't
story
tell me.
Was?
He did, wants you to get in touch.
Did Thor really show up and buy these things or not?
I have no idea.
Okay, I mean, then how am I wrong?
I'm
going to call him when I get off this show.
And then the next caller wanted to let Bernie know that it's not fair that you like the two tight end system in New England, but you don't like the Kyle Rudolph signing in New York, giving them a two tight end thing.
I didn't say I didn't like the Kyle Rudolph signing.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just what he said.
I'm just saying I think that Kyle Rudolph, he will be good. I want to stay with Evan Engram. I think
why?
Why? Because I think Evan Engram is very good.
In what capacity has Evan Engram proved that he's a good player in the NFL? He's a difference maker in the NFL.
He has
can't block, can't catch.
What do you mean he can't catch? He had a couple of drops, yeah.
A couple of game.
He does have too many drops.
Couple of game.
Okay, so it's like a golfer who misses some putting, has a little streak, and then gets it back.
You know what happens?
Let's give him a chance.
You know what happens after a few years of not making putts and hitting the ball out of bounds?
He's got one more
year. You're not in the PGA anymore.
He's got one more year.
I would trade him right now. I don't think I think when the Giants need a guy, first of all, twofold. Number one, you're Saquon Barkley's your running back. You got to have a guy that can block. Kyle Rudolph can block. Kyle Rudolph is not the burner. He's not as athletic, but he catches the football. I think it's time to move on from him. I really do. Alex from Moncton says, I like Jones. If they add Galladay, then Jones had better show up. He won't have an excuse at this point. I hope your quarterback takes are better than your NBA coaching takes. Which is a great segue, Alex from Moncton. We appreciate that, because let's talk about that. Brad Stevens, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, and let's just say, I mean, you're a Celtic fan, Bernie. I know you follow them closely. You know, it has not been the year that I think most Celtic fans expected it to be, and I feel as if...
What, losing to Sacramento last night?
Yeah, I mean, they're not playing good basketball. There's no question about it. But I look at what Brad Stevens is and what I've seen him do in Boston. Okay, one of the things that's made me come back to the NBA a little bit, a little touch here, is the fact that Brad Stevens is the guy that took the Celtics and molded them into a basketball team. The Celtics have not been the team that brought in they're not signing big name players. They've done it routinely when they've had success through the draft, which I think is incredibly important at the NBA level. The NBA to me, 20 years ago or whatever, whenever Jordan kind of moved on and that era left. And when they started changing the rules, has been unwatchable for me. Brad Stevens has made the Celtics kind of like, with excuse the pun here, but the little engine that could mentality, where they're taking these kids and they're developing them. This year it hasn't worked out for them. I still believe, and I'll say the same thing about Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau was at the Bulls. He helped build the Bulls into a team, a perennial team that could compete at least for a championship in the East. You know, obviously couldn't get by Miami and the Dream Team, because that's what the NBA is now. The teams that are successful are these teams that you've got players. I don't know if they're colluding, but they're all coming together in one area, and they're creating these super teams that are the teams that seem to win the championship every year. And you can roll your eyes all you want at me, but that seems
to be where we go.
No,
the Celtics have two All-Stars.
Well, they have two All-Stars that are homegrown built, though. We're not talking about guys that have been brought in here that you're signing because we need to bring in two superstars and we're getting rid of the farm for. You're not looking at the Lakers or the Nets, what they've done to make decisions. The Celtics have built their organization. I mean, Tatum has become an All-Star because of what Brad Stevens has done with him with the Celtics. And that's what always was attracted to me, the Celtics. So regardless of their record or their consistency, I still believe Brad Stevens, to me, is the best NBA coach. And the rumor mill right now is with the University of Indiana's basketball position opening, which, let's face it, that's one of the more coveted jobs in the country, right? If you can bring Indiana back to what Bob Knight had him at, I mean, that would be unbelievable. There's rumors that Brad Stevens would go. And you know what? Because I don't think the NBA, to me, deserves Brad Stevens. And the way, and what I've heard from these fans out there about Brad Stevens, to me, makes me think, I hope he does go back to college. That's where he can really make an impact. If people don't like him in the NBA, go back to college and make the impact that I think you can make.
Celtics fans don't seem to deserve very many people in the organization in general. They're so it's so fair weather sometimes. Like, have you seen Celtics fans on Twitter at least? They are the worst. I like the Celtics. I follow the Celtics. I would consider myself a Celtics fan. But anytime a player has a bad game, you just, the feed fills with trade him, cut him, fire that guy, fire him.
And look what Ainge has done. I know, and you're blame a little bit. We've talked about this off the air.
Ainge is different. He could have got Miles Turner. That drives me crazy.
Well, there was so much capital and assets that he had, and he's done some good things with it. But, you know, I just, they're just not there. They're a 500 team, and I believe they have better talent than that. I just think that they're still struggling at center. You know, I mean, I think Robert Williams could be really good, but he's on a minute count. But, you know, who is that other, you know, who you go to get a basket and now everything is off the bounce. You know, and if we talk about the transition of the game and the small ball game, you know, do you have anybody who can kind of get inside and score? And that's supposed to be Brown and Tatum. I also think the point guard position is interesting. Like, I love Kemba, but
he's been streaky since he came back.
Is there too much tread on the tire? You know, is it gone? You know, from that standpoint, I just don't know if, you know, they got. I think they have to do something to change it up. Like, Marcus Smart, I'm not a fan, and I'll be the first person to admit it. But I tell you, he's one of the toughest. He's a grinder. He's tough, but I just don't think you can win a title with him. That's just my opinion. I hope I'm proven wrong, but I think he's a chip that, you know, needs to go.
And there might be moves that have to be made in the future. There's no question about that. And if we're going to talk about the inconsistency of the Celtics, and there's no question that you can try to point blame in some capacity, whether it's Kemba Walker having too much tread. I mean, I know he's been on a pitch count most of the season anyway, right? He's
playing, doesn't play back to backs.
Doesn't play back to back games. I think, you know, obviously Tatum, everyone. The expectation of Tatum is that he's going to be the next really big thing in the NBA. Has he made that step yet? Did the Celtics put the right roster together? Who knows if that's the case, and is it just a bad year in terms of the way they're playing? Fine. But if you can't recognize what Brad Stevens brings to an organization, and maybe what ends up happening at the NBA level, and this is very, and maybe you get, and you can tell me better than probably anybody, is that the mentality that he brings might be really good for, say, 6, 7, 8 years. But it wears off when you have players like Tatum that are, you know, they start to develop and they become superstars. And we know that the NBA is not a coach's league. It's a player league. Where in the college level, you know, you're recruiting, you're developing all the time. I just think that guys like Brad Stevens and the way he's evolved this organization. Because let's face it, when the big guys left, when Garnett left and Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce left and those great teams, Ray Allen, those great teams Celtics had, the Celtics went a different direction. I mean, how many draft picks are we talking about the Celtics had every year? And maybe they should trade a couple of those to get X, Y, or Z. They haven't done that. They've been trying to recruit guys and draft guys that they can change into players, and they've tried to do it the quote-unquote what I deem is the right way. And I'm not saying I'm not against free agency, but in the NBA, we have watched an organization evolve from what I deem as the greatest sports anything in the world. When we were talking about you and I have talked about how great the NBA was, at least as kids growing up, every team had a superstar, every team was relevant. You can't say that about today's NBA. You have superstar athletes jumping teams year in and year out. I mean, it's amazing to me that LeBron James, as special as he is as a player, iconic. I mean, people would say he's the greatest ever to live.
And now an owner for the Red Sox.
Yeah, another reason for me to dislike the Red Sox. That's good for me. But he just jumps from team to team. That's an iconic player that should have stayed. If he played in the 90s, that would have never happened. And the Celtics have done it the way I deem that you could really fall in love with. Now, look, they haven't been consistent.
What would
have
never happened again in the 90s with LeBron?
I think he would have, if he was recruited, if he was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think he would have stayed a Cavalier.
Well, because free agency wasn't as fruitful as it is now.
Fair enough, but at the same time, you also don't have the situation where you've got these – you know, we're all going to come together here. You know, we had Wade and
Bosch. But that's the evolution of basketball with the way from the grassroots up in terms of AAU, in terms of all of those deals and packages. That, I mean, you can kind of say that. I mean, look,
well, you can say
you had Magic, Kareem, and Worthy. You had, you know, Bird, Mikhail, Parrish. They were always those superstars and those
yeah,
those
they were core
threes.
Guys. They were right. core guys, but they were drafted in most and obviously some were brought in later, early in their careers. But you didn't have the situation now where you've got if there's 10 great players in the NBA, you know, half of them are going somewhere else. It was unheard of, the fact that, you know, you see the Greek Freak sticking in Milwaukee. Be like, how can he stay? They're not going to. Well, he's staying there because he wants to build the organization. And my point being is that the Celtics have done this, at least in my opinion, the way it used to be done. And to get, look, it's a bad year. I get it. Everybody has years like this at times. You know, and to me, the NBA is about the playoffs anyway. And that most teams will, you know, when you get to the playoffs, there's just a different level. I look at what the Celtics are doing. You may not be happy with it, but I'm telling you, you let Brad Stevens go, you're going to have big problems. A big problem because he's helped build an organization, and I love the way they've done it. It went from me not watching any NBA because I couldn't stand watching, because to me, they don't play defense. The scoring, it's way too much scoring. If you remember watching the Michael Jordan thing, The Last Dance, if you watch some of those, we've talked about this on the show, but the scores of these finals were like 82-78 and 79-72.
Everything was different.
Yeah, you're right. The rules were different. Right. You could play defense back then. You could be physical back then.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. Right now, watching an NBA game is like going down and playing in the leagues I used to play in at the Y. You're running up and down the floor. Good athletes are really good athletes. It's fun to watch them shoot. The final scores are 132-127. Like, yeah, fine. It's fun to watch great athletes play, but it's more fun to watch great athletes be able to play both ends. That's what made the NBA so special. It was physical. It was tough. It was the greatest thing to watch. Now this game, to me, just isn't fun. When you look at the Celtics, to me, they played both ends when they were successful. And I will argue and tell you right now that if last year was no COVID situation and the Celtics could have, if everything was normal and they're playing their games in the Boston Garden and going to Miami to play, the Celtics would have been in the NBA championship last season. There's no question if they weren't playing in a bubble, in a situation where there really is no home court advantage.
Good defense is coming back into popularity. Like you're seeing, like Utah, who's very good right now, one of the things that they do really well is play good defense. It's just different from what it used to be. It's less physicality and more early movement, switching, and that kind of stuff.
But Utah has the ultimate rim protector.
Well, that's true. They can do a lot of stuff on the outside because they don't have to close.
Right. That's why in the small ball situation, you can get out and pressure and force people to put the ball down and funnel them into the, you know, to a guy who can block everything. Yeah,
you don't have to crash because he's there.
Right.
But there's a lot of teams that are looking for that answer on defense now and not doing so much of the just run and gun and hope that you outscore the other guys. The thing with the Celtics, I do think that Brad Stevens has had a worse year this year. There's a lot of stuff like we have long stretches in games where the Celtics don't move off the ball well, and that it can't go that long. And then there's other stuff like some of the units they put out don't look cohesive. They don't look like they have the chemistry that they should.
When you are an inconsistent basketball team or any team, coaches are going to try to do things to try to spark something. And I will just say this. Careful what you wish for, Celtic fans.
Sure.
Careful what you wish for, because when Brad Stevens leaves, you're going to be wishing for Brad Stevens back.
Here's the other thing, though, I think that is hurting a lot of the NBA teams. They don't get to practice as much as they were able to.
Very true.
So I think that's you know, a huge part of it, too, because that's how you can build rotations, build defenses, that kind of stuff. So I think there's that, but I just think the roster has to get better, and I think that falls on Danny Ainge.
They got to go with the deadline,
and then the Brad Stevens thing is going to get even more interesting as we keep going here.
And before we go to break, real quick, I mean, do you try? I personally, with everything I've seen, and I look at the back of the baseball card, so to speak, mm-hmm. I trust Danny Ainge. I do. I mean, I think what Danny Ainge has done over the years as the GM has proven that he knows how to put a quality basketball team on.
His best friend gave him the title, Kevin McHale, with that trade. So, I mean, if you look at his last couple of drafts, and I'm a Danny Ainge fan from here, he's got to do something to reissue my faith.
Boy, I got to tell you, I mean, again, you're a closer fan to it than I am, and I understand the passion you have because you want your team to win.
Go look at his last couple of drafts.
I'll look at him, but I mean, this is I look at a team that has been a team that I thought going into a season the last 5 or 6 years would never compete, and they're competing. in a league that has so many super teams there competing. I don't know. I trust Danny Ainge, but that's just
he has had a rough couple years. Carson Edwards hasn't really panned out. Grant Williams hasn't really panned out. Nesmith already looks like someone who's not going to pan out.
I mean, Robert Williams was good.
Yes,
Robert
Williams. But Grant Williams is who I said.
Right. No, saying I'm going back to the yep. positive side. He's been good, and I mean Pritchard is good, but are you really going to be able to win with Pritchard?
All right. Take a quick break. When we come back, we talk a little March Madness because listen, the greatest playoff situation in the history of the world is going on right now.
And I
talk
got
about
winners
that.
For you.
Wahoo, wah, baby. We'll be right back. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage for you can be. Call Vermont Mortgage Company today at 802-863-2020. That's 863-2020. Or visit them online at vermontmortgagecompany.com. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters.
Now back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
802-655-6672 is the number to call. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Jeff, Bernie, and Aaron with you this morning. Bernie is back. You can text us in the Town Fair Tire text line. And I'm sorry I haven't gotten to all your texts. We have a ton of them. 802-655-6672. Alex from Moncton said, we've talked about a lot of things here, but I'll get to a couple of them. Ingram is a difference maker. His drops in key situations were the difference in the Giants winning two games last year. You're obviously not a Giants fan, Alex, because if you didn't watch the Giants every week, you realize that Ingram drops two or three passes a game that cost them a game. Anyway, he also said the Celtics have been given a pass going back to the Isaiah Thomas years. Fans are tired of the wait till next year mentality. That's fair. And the Seeds play just like Stevens' coaches, skilled but soft. And like I said a second ago, when it comes to this, careful what you wish for, Celtic fans. You want Brad Stevens gone, see what happens.
I don't think Marcus Smart is soft. Maybe you can ask that question about multiple players on the roster, but
I think
time will tell.
I think a lot of their role players and stuff do play tough. For me, it feels more like an issue with cohesion a lot of times.
And then Kevin from Burlington said, you realize one of the biggest reasons why basketball sucks now is offensive players get paid and defensive players don't get paid a lot.
But that's so true because guess what? What puts fans in the seats? Offense. What wins titles? Defense.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to tell you this right now. And maybe that's the case about that, but the reason that they don't get a lot playing defense because you can't play defense in the NBA. You can't play it anymore. I mean, there just aren't any. You just can't. But anyway, that's a topic for another time. Let's get to something we like to talk about. Or do you want to debate me on that one?
What do we like to talk about?
We love talking March Madness,
yes,
buddy.
Yes, we do.
'Tis the season. I mean, the greatest playoff in any major sport is what we're in the middle of right now. I mean, it just is. March Madness, whether you're – and I think it transcends whether you're a fan or not. I mean, whether your team is in it or whether you're even a fan of college basketball, there is nothing like this tournament. They're watching situations happen, and that's what we mentioned earlier when we talked a little bit about, you know, why I go after college football so much and the way they do their playoffs. And again, I know it's a different sport and it's different situation and blah, blah, blah. They can only have four. They're evolving. Let the college football situation evolve. You will never have a situation in college football like we had last night with Oral Roberts knocking off a powerhouse like Ohio State or a North Texas getting a win against Purdue. Or an Oregon State that got themselves snuck their way in and knocks out a team as talented as Tennessee. You know, you're just not going to have those situations. You're never going to have those Cinderella stories in college football because we only allow four teams in. And I don't care about anything. Right now in college football, there are the have and have nots. You have Alabama, you have Clemson, a little bit of Georgia, a little bit of Ohio State, and then Notre Dame jumps in there because they're Notre Dame. And other than that, if you lose a game, you lose two games, you're out. And for all intents and purposes, you want your team to win a championship. Everything else just falls apart. The Rose Bowl isn't a big deal unless it's a national championship game. It's the same coaches holding the championship trophy up every year. And trust me, I am not someone that isn't into domination. I have such respect for teams that win and win and win and win. But when you have a situation like we do in college football where you just don't have that opportunity to win. I mean, it's to me,
Jeff,
if you're Alabama or Clemson, It's easy to win national championships. It's hard to win a college basketball championship. And I think what they're doing in Division 1A with college football is amazing, and I wish that Division I football would go to it. But I'm sorry, Bernie, you get me going on these tangents, and I just start flying off
the cuff. I didn't get you going. We started talking about March Madness,
right,
and then you just took it down
that's what I do.
Path.
So I should have tried
to cut you off 3 minutes earlier because
you need to be better at that.
Let's talk about
the excitement. It is.
And all of the games and all of the point spreads. Let's get into it. I mean,
let's get into it. Tell me what you want to do.
The first game of the day, right?
Yeah.
Georgetown against Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, talk about
How about Georgetown?
How about Patrick Ewing?
How about Patrick Ewing?
How about what they did in the Big East tournament? Is it going to be that team, or is it going to be the team that really struggled during the regular season?
And let me ask you this. They kind of remind me a little bit of the UConn team that got hot late a few years. Now, again, that team had Kemba Walker and a much better roster.
Right.
But it reminds you, right, of the Big East team that gets hot.
Sure.
Finds a way to get in. Syracuse, another example. But that UConn team rode that momentum of winning that tournament in Madison Square Garden to a championship. It's exciting to see what they're doing. Does it end today? What do you think?
It does end today. Colorado's good. They're only given five. You know, I don't know if Georgetown has it, and I know there's a couple of Georgetown fans out there, and I just don't like Georgetown. We got to go with Colorado. I mean, from that standpoint.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, a couple other fun games. You know, just because I St. Bonaventure's LSU.
Yeah.
Talk about a matchup. You know, that's a 8-9 game, a two point spread. St. Bonaventure's Mark Schmidt, their head coach, used to be an assistant here at St. Michael's and kind of worked his way up.
And has done a
great job there. Interesting matchup. St. Bonaventure's can defend. LSU is young. 2 point spread. 8-9 games. You know, it's the flip that coin. What's the flip?
Well, and I will just say this before I tell you who I think is going to win the game. I believe it's amazing what I've taken out of this tournament so far, and whenever I watch it, is the amount of basketball talent that is in this country. Oh. You know, because
did you watch North Texas at all last night?
Yeah, I watched every game.
It's unbelievable.
But even like watching Oral Roberts play, you know, a 15 seed that no one talks about. My point being is, it's amazing how much basketball talent we have in the country and how many teams, these mid-major, these low mid-major teams are. I noticed it yesterday when I was watching even like a Hartford playing against Baylor for a while. They're not intimidated. They're not afraid. You know, there was a time in this where a lower seed like that would be a little intimidated. These guys, they can play with these guys.
Well, they can, but again, a lot of that goes back to the AAU tournaments because they see all these guys. It's not that initial awestruck. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, forget that game. Let's move on to the Iowa Grand Canyon.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's like a 14-point spread. Grand Canyon has a 7-footer. He's huge.
Yeah.
These guys are older. They're mature. They play defense. Iowa's really good. I mean, it's just so.
You just brought up a great point, too. The teams that are older have a huge benefit in these tournaments. These veteran teams, these guys that are. I mean, I'm trying to remember what somebody said this morning. One of these guys' rosters is older than some of the rosters on the NBA, some of these guys that are playing right now. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about Grand Canyon to say, but they can score points, they can protect the rim, but you got to like what Garza in Iowa brings to the table. I mean, I'm not sure.
I just think 14 points is a lot.
That's a big number. That's a big number, but I think I'd lay that today.
You would take the 14?
I would take the 14. I would take Iowa and give the 14.
Wow, interesting.
I would. You know what?
After the great day the Big Ten had yesterday?
I would take
Purdue
it.
And Ohio
I really
State?
Would. I really would. I would.
I don't know, Jeff.
I would.
I don't know. I mean, let's see. What else is a fun one? Oh, Rick Pitino in Iona.
Yeah.
They're getting 16.5 against Alabama.
Yeah. Again, it's such a small sample size with Iona. I don't think If you said it's 15?
16.5.
I think I'll take Pitino.
You're taking the points?
Alabama, a lot of pressure on Alabama, right? A program that's up and coming. I don't know if they've ever been a two seed. A lot of expectation there. Well, you just watch Oral Roberts knock off a two seed.
I don't think it's that like that. I think Alabama won the regular season in the SEC. They won the postseason tournament. I think the way they play, they're just way better. I'm going to take Alabama and give the points. I think that's a pretty good one. I will just say this.
Your regular season championship and your postseason conference championship is nothing compared to the pressure of the NCAA tournament. And I will just say that you Rick Pitino's on that other sideline. And when those Alabama kids look over and they see that there, I'm telling you.
They're going to be who's that?
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They're going to know exactly what they're dealing with. They're going to know exactly what they're dealing with. And by the way, I'm looking forward to college basketball just going back to the suits, by the way. I'm not into like the sweatshirts and the wind pants. I want to see Rick Pitino come out with that Those like white suits he used to wear.
Yeah, he wore the suit at the championship.
Yeah, I heard that. Maybe he'll have this. He should wear it today too, because all those Alabama kids would be like, "Oh no, it's Rick Pitino over there. And he's got the suit on." Look out for Iona. You want to hear a great story about Iona? You ever hear the Jim Valvano story about Iona when he coached at Iona? Brought a recruit in, sat at the table with him, and he said, "Hi, I'm Jim Valvano, Iona College." And the kid looked at his mom.
Which college?
He goes, "Oh my God, this guy owns a college."
Oh, Jeff.
That's a true story.
We just lost 7 listeners with that one.
Well, our only 7 listeners, yeah, exactly. Probably. All right, what's next? Go ahead.
We got a couple more before we get to the
epic.
The upset.
Yeah, make it quick. We only have a couple minutes.
Okay, BYU-UCLA. That's going to be a fun game tonight at 9:40. Yeah. I think BYU is really underrated. They battled Gonzaga tough. They're only given 3.5 against UCLA. UCLA just had a dogfight, overtime matchup. Great win against Michigan State. I like BYU in that game.
I'm with you 100%. I like BYU as well.
And now we got to get to the defending champions.
Oh yeah, baby, the Cavaliers of Virginia.
You know, they're given 7 at 7:15.
Yeah.
On True TV.
Yeah. True that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the games that aren't as
important they put on True television. Fair enough.
So,
yeah. Okay. I was waiting for that little dig.
I got to talk into
what channel's Duke on today?
Well, you want to talk about getting hosed. Blue Devils.
They're hosed already. What are they, 500? How'd they get hosed?
They win 2 games.
Yeah.
They get COVID, and they don't get a chance to keep playing.
Yeah, hosed.
They won their last 2 games. Yeah. How many people can say that?
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, and they don't get an opportunity. It's just all the Duke haters getting more out there.
You shouldn't have to put your whole reliance on having to win a conference tournament if you're Duke. You know, you have the number one recruiting class, I think, in the country this year. You can't make the tournament.
Well, they're not in
it. Why are we even talking about Duke? They aren't even the CBI, exactly. So it doesn't matter.
Anyway. So I get to make
so
excuses.
My Cavaliers are what? They're giving 7 to Ohio.
They're giving 7.
I mean,
O-H-I-O.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I would take Virginia, and I think the 7 is a number that they will cover. I like the 7 with Virginia. The only question I have with Virginia, this year's team, and I will tell you, I'm much calmer now because I never in my life ever thought that I'd see my team win a national championship.
So you're sounding like a Celtics fan.
No, I'm not. No, this team has the talent to compete, and this year's team scores a lot of points, but they don't defend as well as Tony Bennett's teams have in the past. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, they've had some COVID issues throughout the year. They just had one, obviously, in the ACC tournament. They couldn't finish after they had beaten Syracuse. So if it depends on the guy that had COVID. So whoever had COVID on the roster can't play today, and nobody knows who that is, or at least it hasn't been announced yet. But if the big three can play, the Sam Housers, the Jay Huffs, the Kihei Clarks, and I think you also have to add in there's another guy I have to add in, number 25. Trey Murphy the third. If those guys are all able to play, I think Virginia takes care of business. But Ohio can score a lot of points, and they're definitely game. I wouldn't be surprised to see an upset, but I think Virginia's playing the kind of basketball they have to now. If you asked me this 3 weeks ago, I would have said Virginia's going to lose in the first round. But I think right now they're playing really good basketball.
You have just gone down 75 different roads.
You just asked me who I thought was going to win. I told you why Virginia's going to win.
You just said, but if you asked me 3 weeks ago if we did this, and we got 4 guys, we don't know who's playing.
Well, no,
what's your pick?
I just told you. Take Virginia. Take the 7. Don't worry about it. This Virginia team is playing good basketball right now. They're at a level where I think they can win a couple games in this tournament. And look out, Gonzaga, bring him on.
Alex in Moncton said, "I never thought I'd see a 16-1. Virginia helped me there, too."
There you go. There you go, Alex. I just want to know what happened the next year, Alex, okay, when they were cutting the nets down.
Well, they're still the defending champs.
That's right.
And
that's
Ohio knocks them off today. Another upset. I just get worried for Virginia because they haven't – I don't think they've been able to practice, have they?
Yeah, they've been able to get one practice. That's it. That's definitely tough. There's no question about it.
You know what? And if guys are sitting – like, this is what – yes, this is Virginia that we're talking about, but just think about every team that had to go through this. They're sitting in their room.
Virginia Tech is a great example.
You know, they're sitting in their room. They have to watch videos and they can't do any. It just is awful.
It's unbelievable
what these kids have had to go through.
It really is. It's crazy. We're living in crazy times right now.
A caller wants to know, Jeff, because of your fandom, are you a UVA grad?
No, I'm not. Come on, listen to me. You think I could get into the University of Virginia?
That's why he was asking. Said, I'm pretty sure that's a good school.
Yeah, it's a really good school, and you have to be very smart.
It was his reach school, and it was a far
reach. Yeah, it's a far reach. They were like, in fact, my letter never got to the state of Virginia because the guy was like, stop. You know what I mean? No, I'm a graduate from Castleton. I'm a proud graduate of Castleton. How I'm a Virginia fan is a long story. I grew up going down there a lot, and we had some friends that got me able to be – I got really close with the basketball program, got to spend time with Ralph Sampson, got to spend a lot of time with Bryant Stith and Corey. I mean, back in the day, that's how I became a fan. And as a fan of Virginia, and I don't know if anyone can, maybe Red Sox fans can appreciate this and Patriot fans, but the first time you get that championship, I never thought in my life I'd see Virginia win a national championship. And, you know, it happened last year, so now, you know, whatever happens now.
2 years ago.
It's awful. Well, whatever. 2 years ago. To me, it was yesterday. But I will tell you.
To you, it was yesterday.
When Diakite, when Mamadi Diakite hit the shot to tie Purdue to go to overtime, and this is no lie.
That's when you knew you were going to win it.
No, maybe. But the adrenaline that I had in my body, I actually, and this is no joke, I hit my head on my ceiling. I jumped so high.
Well, you have low ceilings.
They are fairly low, and I was on a ladder, but I hit my head on the ceiling. Anyway, we'll come right back and talk a little hot or not. Go Cavaliers today.
O-H-I-O.
Be quiet.
Maybe they're going to be the team.
Better crank up that AC, because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's hot or not on 101.3 The Game.
Taking on West Virginia.
Oh, I told you this a little while ago. I love this show.
I'm so mad.
I love it. I love when our, you know, like the little production we just had. So basically, we're like growing up here on Sports Saturday. So we have the voice of God, you know, the power voice, reread some of the things that we come back to. Meanwhile, we're taping it and you got somebody else's voice behind it. It's like somebody's sitting at the bar doing this or something.
I don't know if it was some equipment over on my right, but nothing else on the board was on. But there was stuff that was over the air recording at the same time.
Crazy.
As my returns were recording. Because I have to record them over when we get new ones.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Just absolutely crazy stuff. Anyway, all right, kiddo. What do we got today, kiddo?
This is hot or not, and it's thanks to Superb Cupcakes.
Oh,
they're
yes.
Open for curbside pickup right now. Available flavors are posted on their Facebook and Instagram pages daily. You can call Superb Cupcakes at 802-871-5941 and place your order for contact-free pickup today.
And for the record, they've had a Mountain Dew cupcake before. What do you think of that? That's how crazy this place is. Today, the cupcake of the day is lemon raspberry. And I'm just telling you, like, that's
a Mountain Dew cupcake.
A Mountain Dew cupcake. Can you imagine? Look at you.
Bernie's face lit up.
I am almost drooling.
It's kind of the same feeling you get when you go get the Saplicky sandwich. Oh my God. Can you imagine having the Saplicky sandwich for lunch, and then for dessert you get the Mountain Dew cupcake burn?
I'll take two cupcakes.
Man. Yeah, check them out. Listen, if you're looking for a treat, and it's going to be a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, get in the car, put the windows down, head over to Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center and get yourself a little treat. And today's cupcake of the day is lemon raspberry, but they have a zillion different flavors. It's like imagine your favorite donut shop, but they make cupcakes. They're just unbelievable flavors. So much fun. Superb Cupcakes, Taft Corner Shopping Center. Williston, my boy. All right, what do you got today, my man?
All right. Danny Ainge needs to be fired if the Seas don't get better at the deadline this
year. My God, you two. My goodness gracious. It's like, what have you done for me lately, Celtic fans? No, you should not fire Danny Ainge. Some things work, some things don't. Most of the time it works for Danny Ainge. I'm a Danny Ainge fan. I'm a Brad Stevens fan. Stick with him. He's going to get you there.
Interesting. I'm going to go a soft not.
Oh, you're getting soft. Stand up and make what's a soft knot?
I'm saying I want to see what he does, because maybe the best thing to do is stand put and let's see how the Celtics finish out.
So
I'm saying he should not get fired. Perfect. If he's going to get fired, it should be at the end of the year.
Okay.
Because either way, he's got to finish the season, whether or not I'd like to see him make moves. And if they backfire, all right. Then at least he tried something.
So
if he stands put, then I'm going to be even more frustrated.
So let's just do that. Whether he stands put or whether he does nothing. Or let me start again. Whether he does nothing, it'd be by standing foot, or he brings somebody in and they don't get it done this year. They're not a good basketball team. They don't, you know, they finish middle of the pack, get knocked out early. You think he should be fired?
I think so, yes. I think it's time for a change.
I don't know.
How long's he been there?
I don't know how long he's been there, but he's done a really good job there.
You said earlier that, you know, it's like 6, 7, 8 years.
He's done a really good job there, Burn.
How? One guy gave him something, and then the other guy.
What was given to him?
Kevin McHale's trade.
What was the trade? I don't remember.
For Kevin Garnett?
Okay. I'm not talking about those years, my friend. Those years are different. I'm talking about what I've seen out of him from when those years ended. How they've rebuilt this organization to be what we deem now is what fans deem as a contender. He's done it
They're a 500 team, Jeff.
They are this year. They haven't been a 500 team forever. And then maybe it's just one of those years. And you talked about some excuses for it. I just don't, honestly, I'm not trying to argue with you because I love arguing with you. But I don't understand. I mean, boy,
you're not
trying
to argue with me, but you love arguing.
I do love arguing with you, but I'm not. I'm not arguing for argument's sake. I just don't understand why we don't look at the whole picture instead of we look at a blip. We look at one season and we say this didn't work. It's over. Like, just this is done. We stink. We need to rebuild everything. He obviously understands how to build an organization, and he's trying to do it the way that doesn't involve him big contracts coming into Boston that don't work.
I say not as well, but. You know what really made me angry yesterday? Because we missed on Miles Turner. That would have been a huge piece for us. The Lakers are in the mix for Miles Turner. If we don't make a move at the deadline and they get Miles Turner and he makes them even better,
What are the Lakers going to trade to get Miles Turner? What are they going to trade?
I have no idea.
I mean, what are you going to trade? I mean, they got rid of the farm to bring in Anthony Davis.
Davis.
You got LeBron James in there. I mean, the whole organ. When LeBron James decides to leave, we talked about this. The Lakers are going to when it's over. When LeBron James leaves,
this has been a surprisingly deep LeBron jump on board team.
I mean, what are you going to give up to get that guy? I mean, I don't know what you, I mean.
A
what
movie role?
Well, Farron, there you go. Play center field for the Red Sox.
That's a fair point.
Wow.
Part owner now.
Ugh. Ugh. Bring back that rivalry, baby.
The Red Sox have to be good. That
That's a good
happening.
Point. That's a good point.
Carson Wentz will have the Colts in the AFC Championship. This comes from our friend Colin Cowherd.
Hot. I think Carson Wentz is going to put this football team in a position, so why not? I'm going to say hot. Why not?
Not.
Nah.
Nah.
You think he's done?
I don't think he's done. I just don't think the team's good enough compared to the other teams in the AFC.
Let's look at this team for just one moment here. Solid at running back, decent wide receivers, good tight end.
Good offensive line.
Guys retired.
The defense was Swiss cheese at the end of the season.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I thought what Indianapolis did last year, and I really love their coach. I think Reich's a great coach.
I think they're good. I think they're going to be there. So I just don't think they're getting to the championship.
So my first reaction to say hot was because I didn't know what the question was, and I just said it. But let me think about real quick. The AFC next year.
That's how you play this game.
Well, you asked me a hot take. I'm just thinking out of my head.
There's no do-overs.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to say hot, but I'm just trying to think. Who do they have to beat? They have to beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
And who else? The Buffalo Bills. Okay, that's fair. Who else are we talking about in the AFC?
Maybe the Patriots?
No.
Patriots?
They're better than the Patriots right now. We'll see.
Pittsburgh?
They're better than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not going to be any good.
Pittsburgh's sticking with Roethlisberger.
Cleveland better, but I would say if you're asking me who's better, Cleveland or Indianapolis, I'd take Indianapolis. So they have to be two teams. They have to be Buffalo and Kansas City, the two teams that are better than them. Yes. Give me that. I think they can compete for an AFC championship. I'm hot.
Okay, let's mark this down and record this because
write it down.
No shot.
We've got it recorded. There's
a list of things that you can write down, Vern, to see if I'm right or not.
We'll add it to the Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones files for later review.
A Kirk Cousins one is, I mean, I'm allowed one mistake. I mean, if I get one thing wrong in 7 years, that's not bad. Everything else is right. I can't wait for the Daniel Jones one to be right. That's what I can't wait for.
Oh, man.
I can't wait.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of the Patriots, they're the favorites in the AFC East once again.
Oh, my God. Not.
No,
please.
Not.
I mean, are you kidding me?
I can dream.
Yes. Are you kidding me? I mean, what Buffalo's doing, Miami's up and coming, even though
I'm not sold on
Tua.
Miami.
I'm with you because of the quarterback.
Yep.
Defense is really good, but Tua's got some growth
and
to do.
And I think the Jets might.
Dude, I love what the Jets are doing.
Yes.
I mean, we had Costello on from the Post about the Jets, and he's talking about they should trade for what's his name in Houston, and it's like, you know, no way.
I'm okay with Sam.
I am too. I'm good with Sam. All that money to spend, plus a really good draft pick. You know, I'm all in with the Jets. I think they're going to be great.
I think you can trade the draft pick to get even more.
You might, but I wouldn't. But it depends on what's there. I just wouldn't draft a quarterback. I think Sam's the guy.
Especially if he, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think bringing Watson in would enable you to have to trade all those things away. You'd have a good quarterback with a crappy team.
And unfortunately, with what's going on in his life,
right? It's trouble right now.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Very true.
So I think that's. That's part of it.
But let's look at the Jets right now, the situation. You've got a really good general manager who, by the way, built the Philadelphia Eagles and won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. You've got a lot of money to spend. You've got a high draft pick, and I think you've got a quarterback if you can protect and give weapons that can be elite. I'm telling you, the Jets are going to be coming. They had to change their uniforms, though, because those stink. That's what they need to change.
They aren't great. Saying.
They're bad.
March Matt.
We need the Altoon uniforms, Burn. That's what we need.
Okay.
The Marcus, what was it? A Freeman McNeil uniform.
Freeman McNeil.
Yeah, that's what you
Mark Gastineau.
Yeah.
Abdul Salam.
Yeah. Klecko.
Yeah.
Joe Klecko.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do this all day with you.
That's right.
We can do it. Go ahead.
March Madness is the best postseason in sports. Hot or not?
Not even close.
Best postseason
in sports, including pros and everything.
Hot.
Yes, that's hot. I mean, the only thing that I think rivals it that is fun, but it's every 4 years, is the World Cup.
I think that's pretty great. The World Cup is pretty special.
Yeah.
But again, that is special. So I guess that could be 1 and 1A for me. That's a tough call, because I think the way that World Cup is set up and the passion that's behind it.
But that's every 4 years.
Very true.
And yeah. I mean, they figured it out, unlike college football, right, Jeff?
Yeah, college football, they're a mess. If you want to fix college football, just call me. I can fix it in 10 minutes.
It's really simple. No. Just add more teams.
Yeah.
But those teams aren't good.
My God, dude. The Cisco segment's over. I can't even do this with you anymore.
Like you said, there's the haves and the have-nots in college football.
You see what happened yesterday? I don't know if you guys heard, but Oral Roberts knocked off #2 Ohio State. I'm going to continue. North Texas beat Purdue. You'll never have that in college football.
They beat Ohio State. So
you'll never have that in Ohio. You'll never have that in college
football. Maybe somebody from Ohio will win like the Bobcats. Then.
Oh, Bernie, that's a good one.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that hurt. That hurt me.
Wow, Jeff.
That hurt me. Jeff. What? You're just trying to take a dig at me, and I take a dig back at you.
You've been
killing
me.
I'm not killing you at
all. You've been killing me for 2 hours.
You've had way too much Mountain Dew today.
That's the show. That's hot or not.
And I'm just going to say this. If Ohio is beating Virginia by halftime, my phone's going off.
Come on. You can't do this.
Yes, I can.
At least your team's playing.
You are annoying when my team loses. You are so annoying. And it doesn't matter what it is. I may not talk to you for 3 weeks, but if my team's losing to a team they shouldn't lose to, you are blowing me up. It never fails.
Jeff, wouldn't you take that as a compliment because I'm thinking of you?
I know why you're thinking of me, because you know that I'm in pain, and you want to add to that pain.
I want to make sure you're okay.
You don't want to make sure I'm okay. I'll read some of those texts you send me. We'll be right back.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Oh, Bernie, it was good to have you back, my man. This is going to be a lot of fun again. And I got to realize I need to get my sleep before the show every Friday night because, you know.
You were in a mood today.
Oh,
I was in a mood? What are you talking about?
You are so fired up.
I mean, I don't get what that means. Like, I'm in a mood. Like, I mean, why do you think I'm in a mood? This is what I do.
You had a bunch of energy.
Yeah, that's what I'm. We're talking about things that I believe in. What am I supposed to? I mean, when you believe in something, Bernie, you got to stand up and you got to own it.
Why are you like getting ready to sing the Poison song? Give me something to believe in.
I love that song. By the way, I got a lot of Poison songs on my phone over here. By the way, it's one of my favorites.
All right.
Anyway, let's get to
we can't play Reunited and It Feels So Good.
Oh, you should have played that, Aaron. Aaron has no idea what we're talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, that's like what?
That's before you and me.
No, yeah. I think Reunited and It Feels So Good.
Oh, yeah, you do know bad. It. Good for you.
Yeah.
Do you know who sings it?
No.
Okay, good. Keep it that way.
Well played. All right, the Green City Garage poll question. You could have gone to Twitter at 101.3 The Game. The poll question today was, who does the postseason better? A, college football. B, college basketball. Aaron, what did it come out as?
Hopefully this will cheer you up. 87.5% said college basketball.
Of course.
And we also got one comment that says college football should expand the field.
Of course. See? Those are my people right there.
Yeah,
those are my people,
that's
Bernie.
That's not hard. That's why the question was a softball.
It's not a softball question. It was just making my point. I mean, people are hungering for a big tournament in college football. This country loves football.
Right.
So let's get it done, Bernie. Let's get
right.
I mean, we're America, for goodness sakes. Why can't we just get it done? Open it up and let's go. Mic drop. Anywho.
Wow.
Guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy the weekend. Keep it right here all weekend because we've got all the NCAA tournament games covered. We are your one-stop shop for college basketball this weekend here on 101.3 The Game. I am Jeff. He is Bernie. Aaron, as usual, kills it as our producer. We'll be back here next week. Remember, we're Sports Saturday. We're here every Saturday from 10 to noon. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Enjoy the basketball. And wahoo wah, baby. Let's go, Hoos.